1 Chronicles chapter 26. Got a list here of the doorkeepers for the divisions of the doorkeepers of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, of the sons of Asaph. And then a list of their sons and the different ones who were doorkeepers. You got a whole chapter about the doorkeepers. Well, the people who just kept the doors of the temple and the temple buildings and the storehouses around the temple, which is what you read of later in this chapter, that was obviously a pretty humble job. But David says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of wickedness. In other words, I'd rather have the humblest place in the work of God rather than live the life of the world with wicked, unbelieving people. And so the doorkeepers were thought to be the lowest, just the guy on the door. And yet here you've got a whole chapter that lists them by name. So this long list of names here, which might seem boring, what it shows you is that God really values the people who do the humblest job. This is really typical of God. This is his style, that he loves humble people. He loves the little person, and he values little things that you do. You may think, well, I'm an obscure little person. What can I do for God? Well, whatever you can do for God, you can do something. And it is highly significant to him, because you have a whole chapter here listing all these names of the doorkeepers, which, as I say, was seen as being the humblest job. And there's a big emphasis on Obed-Edom, that he had lots of sons who were doorkeepers. In fact, verse 6 and verse 8 says all up there were 62 of his sons and his grandchildren who were very able men in strength for the service. So he had, it seems, strong sons, strong grandchildren. There were loads of them. Why the emphasis on Obed-Edom? Well, when David first brought the Ark of God to Zion, or he tried to, he put it on a cart instead of having the Kohathites carry it on their shoulders. And because of that, Uzzah put out his hand to steady the Ark when it nearly fell off the wagon, and God zapped him dead because David had not brought the Ark and carried the Ark as he should have done. So David got a bit scared of the ark, but Obed-Edom took it into his house and looked after it for quite a long time. And God blessed him because of that. If Obed-Edom hadn't have done that, the ark might have got lost altogether because everyone was scared of it and nobody wanted to look after it. Obed means servant. Edom is from Esau. Esau is Edom. So he might have been not an Israelite. He may have been a descendant of Edom, and he was a servant. Again, an obscure guy who's a servant who was from Edom. But God blessed him hugely and blessed his family hugely because he did this humble work of looking after the ark when nobody else wanted it. And he was happy to be just a doorkeeper. And so God blessed him immensely. Now, these sort of folks are what make up a successful living church. People who do the humble things. That is what God is looking for so much. Well, you read on that the doorkeepers not only were to be at the doors of the temple, but also at the doors of the treasure houses, the storehouses. And what was in them? Well, verse 26. Shelomith and his brothers were over all the treasures of the dedicated things which David the king and the heads of the father's households had dedicated. They dedicated some of the spoil won in battles to repair the house of Yahweh. All that Samuel the prophet, Saul the son of Kish, Abner son of Ner, Joab son of Zeruiah, all that they had dedicated, it was looked after by Shelomith. Because all that they had dedicated to God was put into this storehouse that had to have doorkeepers looking after it. Now you see there that men who otherwise were not particularly spiritual and who turned away from God, like King Saul Abner, Joab. Well, King Saul particularly, we know, turned away from God. We don't know exactly the spiritual state of Abner and Joab, but I don't think it was that great. These people, all the same, when they won a battle, they still were generous with the spoil, with the wealth that they took from the enemy that they defeated. They gave it to God, and they put it in a certain place. And later, all those things were put into this storehouse in the temple. I think the point you get from that is that even if you are generous to God's service, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be in the kingdom. Saul, for example, turned away from God and God rejected him. And yet, earlier in his life, we read here, he had given some of the spoil that he'd won in battle, he'd given it to God. But you can't buy your way into God's kingdom. That's the point. You can't buy your way into God's kingdom. Sure, we should be generous. And sure, whatever we pick up along life's way is not ours. As David says, talking about his own dedication of things to God, he says, "Of your own have we given you." It's a little bit mythical to think that I had this, but then I gave it to God. Well, no, God gave it to you in the first place. It's like little children may get very defensive over, "But that's mine, but that's my money, or that's my whatever." And you think, yes, but you were given that by mummy and daddy. You were given that for Christmas by your uncle. You were given it. And we're all the same. We don't change as we get older. We are inclined to think that this is mine. And we fail to see that we are children and God gave us everything that we have. And if you donate money or give some of your wealth to his cause and his work, you are only giving him what is not yours anyway, what is his anyway.